Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Astro Dim laying in my bed because you know it's my bed in astrology. Hey! So I think we're going to take a sharp turn to the astrocartography realm again. That's what I want to do. I think that's what we should do. That's what I feel like doing. And so I'm thinking about this week, we're going to talk about the essential dignities. And then the next episode, which is 2 weeks from now, talk about the accidental dignities. Okay, now I do feel that if you've been listening to me and following me down and reading for me, you know that I definitely see the validity of the essential dignities and everything, like, it for sure, right? But what I feel what I feel is that, there are ways to this is for all aspects of astrology. There are ways to kind of work through situations that are, like, in your chart that are kind of sucky, right? And it's nothing, the reason why people say, there are no harsh aspects, they're not trying to say that there's nothing difficult or anything. But, a lot of times we have certain things to help us build structure, to help us, learn lessons and soul lessons and stuff like that. And so it's important to kind of go through these tough moments to kind of work things out, and it can manifest to anything. So me and you can be going through the same transit, but it manifests differently for me than it is to you, and we can have, like, the same chart too, like for instance, for twins, they could go through the same transit in different ways, so it really is a nature versus nurture-ish type of situation and happening simultaneously a little bit. But regardless, though, what I'm trying to get at is that, I'm not gonna fret. I think aspects are the most potent part of astrology, so it's definitely with locational astrology too. I think essential dignities are important too, but I kind of feel like accidental dignities kind of hold a stronger punch as well. But that's just my opinion. Of course, everyone has their own style and way of doing things. I'm also, I don't know. That's just what I'm feeling. But of course, you can still listen to this and still get information because I see the validity in everything. So, what I'm just saying. But anyways, let's kind of, use it in the lens of astrocartography and locational astrology, okay? So let's define locational astrology. Locational astrology, what it does is, you can utilize, locational astrology for travel to figure out your experience in different places. Because what's happening is they're taking the very moment of your birth and translating it to what time and day it would be if you were to be born in that place. And by doing that, you get the experience of how you would be in that area, right? So let me give an example. Say that you were born today at 9 a.m. in New York. Your mother was giving birth to you at 9 a.m. in New York today, but your father was in L.A. But your father was on FaceTime with your mom while she was giving birth, right? And so, remember, you were born at 9 a.m. in New York. But that very same moment is translated to 6 a.m. in L.A. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like it's the moment of your birth. Not necessarily the time, but the moment of your birth. So we take that moment of when you were born and translate it to the time and the place that you're interested in going to. And that's kind of like the birth chart of the experience that you'll have in that place. It's not your birth chart. You always have your birth chart, right? But it is like kind of like that moment of your birth and how, like, you'll be in this area. And so what's happening is that, like, with your house cusp, including the angular points, ascendant, descendant, ICMC, or I call it cardinal points sometimes, that is dictated by the eastern horizon, which is the ascendant, the western horizon, which is the descendant, the zenith of the sky, which is MC, and the lowest points of the horizon, which is IC. Okay? And so, of course, depending on where you are, the Eastern Horizon is going to be different. No matter what, it could be the same moment, but if you're in a different location, it's going to be different for you, right? So that's why someone can be born at the same exact time, but have different rising signs if they were born in different places. You understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, because of that switch that's happening, we're dictating that. So remember, the planets aren't changing, right? The planets are staying in the same degrees and the same signs and everything. It's the houses are shifting. Okay, so that's what's happening, and that's what location or astrology catches for you to understand the experience that you'll have in any given place all around the world. I mean, technically, when it comes to, space travel, we'll be able to do the same thing too, technically. Technically. Same type of principle, you know what I'm saying? So, I had to go there, Aquarius rising. So, with astral cartography, what that is, shout out to Jim Lewis, is basically, RIP, is basically like the mapping. And basically, it's the mapping of that and the lines that shows the mapping is keeping that in mind. Like, it's keeping when your natal planet is making a aspect to the relocated cardinal points or angular points in your relocated chart. You understand what I'm saying? That's what those lines are representing. Okay? So that's locational astrology, astral cartography. So, a lot of times people would be say like, okay, I'm gonna move to my Venus onto the benefic lines. I'm gonna move to my Venus line. I'm gonna move to my Jupiter line. So I'm trying to gain. I'm trying to have a relationship. I'm trying to get money. I'm trying to be in abundance. But sometimes those lines are not the best for you. Okay? If you got a jacked up Venus and a jacked up Jupiter, that might not be the best for you to do. Like, that might not work out for you. You get what I'm saying? And then a lot of people say, well, I'm not gonna move to my Mars or my Saturn line or my Pluto line. I ain't trying to go through all that shit. I don't wanna move to my Uranus line. Like, the outer planets be wildin'. But those could be the best aspect of planets for you. I have so many clients that thrived off their Pluto line, that thrived off their Saturn line. They knew what it is. They came in. Those planets are the best aspect of planets in their chart, and they went with it. So this is why when I talk about astral cartography, I really push the whole idea that looking at the aspects of the planets in your chart can help dictate and understand, like, help you understand what the best places are for you. Because, yes, squares and oppositions, bring structure into our lives and helps us a lot with certain things. Sometimes it's too difficult. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes we need a break. Sometimes we need to see that planet in a different aspect of our lives, a different perspective, because where it is in our natal charts, it's exhausting. And the thing is that you're always gonna have your natal chart, right? So, like for me, I have Mars conjunct my midheaven very tightly. I'm always gonna have Mars conjunct midheaven. But if I move somewhere, the energy won't be so potent and in my face. If I move somewhere away from my birthplace, right? It's not gonna show up all the time in my face, in my outer experiences. It's gonna be kind of something that I work through in specific parts of my life, and it's just not gonna be so potent and in your face. You get what I'm saying? So that's like the whole thing. Like, this is really important for you to look into the aspects of the planets, right? And then also look at your relocated chart of the place that you're interested in, and make sure that, that planet and that planetary, that planet's not making any other harsh aspects, right? So a lot of people, this will happen too. Like, people's like, okay, I'm gonna move to my like Jupiter line. My Jupiter is beautifully aspected, but now in this place that you're interested in, you have a new Pars of Fortune or a new vertex, and now Jupiter is like square your vertex or your Pars of Fortune, and then square your IC as well, because you're going to your Jupiter ascendant line. You know what I mean? And so if it's square your IC, it's square your MC too. So now it has all these new squares, and you're like, what? So you really, that's why I tell people, don't just look at the chart. You have to actually look at the relocated, don't just look at the map. You have to look at the relocated chart, the actual relocated chart of the place that you're interested in, and read it as if you like reading someone else's chart. It is so important, okay? So if you really want to be aware of what can come of your experience in this new place that you're interested in. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So with all that being said, like, you know, again, I push this insanely because it's really important. It really is. And a lot of people would go to like their benefic line and be like, oh my God, I'm having a horrible time. You know, this is ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, my experience in this place is ass, and astrophotography is not real. And that's not the case. You know, you didn't get a good reader, or you're not reading it good yourself. You know, if we're going to be frank. So, you know, just to let y'all know too, my astrophotography course or relocation astrology course, it's always available, right? So if you're interested, just go on my website and learn more about it. Ask me questions, email me. You know what I mean? I have payment plans available as well. If you're interested in that, you have to hit me up. And I teach this and more because it's a lot to astrophotography that a lot of people are not really touching on and talking about. And it is hard because you're leading people astray, and I just hate it. I really do, especially because I'm so passionate about it. And so if you're interested in taking the course, you know, hit me up. We can set you up, and you'll be not only be able to read for yourself, but read for others as well. Like, I have students graduating, and they can read for other people too. So, and they're doing it, and they're successful. So, you know, just saying. What else? But yeah, if you're interested in taking that and learning more about astrophotography from an expert who's been doing it for years, go ahead and holler at me. I got you. So essential dignities, right? So essential dignities is basically a very important part of astrology, especially traditional astrology, where, you know, you have these points and you try to view the strengths of a planet or a point. And there's many different, you know, there's five essential dignities, basically. The thing is, all dignities are either strengthening or weakening the ability of the planet or the point or whatever. It's almost like the planet. And so what this does is it shows you the power, the overall power of each of the planets. So these are the five essential dignities. There is, if something's domicile or detriment, if something's in exaltation or fall, it's triplicity, there's terms or bounds, and then there's decans, or they like to call it face. The old school folks like to call it face. Now, there's another thing I want to add in here too, which is sect. I think this is going to be an interesting thing to talk about. And it might, you know what, I'll see how the timing is, because I'm trying to make these podcast episodes shorter. I want to see how the timing is, and I might include sect in it, because I think it's really fun to play with sect when it comes to astrophotography. And yeah, I don't know, I might make that a whole nother episode, baby. I don't know, let's see. But let's go ahead and talk about the five essential dignities, right? So domicile is just something is a planet is ruling a sign, right? So this is, you know, Venus rules Taurus and Libra, you know, Saturn rules Capricorn and traditionally Aquarius. It's that type of stuff, right? But there's also a detriment too, where a planet actually has a hard time in a a sign, right? So, for instance, we was talking about how Venus rules Taurus and Libra. So, Venus is domicile in those signs. But Venus also is in detriment in Aries and in Scorpio, right? So there's that. Now, when it comes to astral cartography, if there is like, there's this is something that you have to keep in mind, because like if you are trying to move to your Venus line and your Venus is in Scorpio or in Aries, again, I would not say, hey, maybe don't move to your, Venus line because it's in Aries or Scorpio, but I do want you to be aware that your Venus is a little bit weakened being in those signs when it comes to the central dignities. So I would say that, hey, this whole essence of, you having Venus in Aries is going to be amplified. So this whole idea when it comes to you being a little bit self-centered and self-motivating when it comes to your desires and your wants, it's going to be, there's going to be a theme of that. You know what I mean? So sorry, y'all. Every time that I talk, I have to have an interruption in my house, right? It's a thing now. It's our thing. It's, my bed in astrology's thing to be interrupted. But anyways, like I was saying, so if someone had Venus in Aries, that theme of self-centeredness and self-motivation may be expanded and may be more pronounced in if you were to move to your Venus line, right? And again, there could be an issue with that where people may notice it a little bit more in that area, and so it becomes like a thing. And Venus doesn't function well with being too self-motivating. Venus is, does rule Taurus, and Taurus is kind of, self-involved, but not as like not in the way that Aries is, where you have your motivations and your passions, and you let that, drive you. Taurus is more of the, practical, keep in mind of the material things, and they don't just like jump at shit and take chances unless there's other aspects of, the chart that represents that, but just Taurus energy in general. They think before they leap. And so the energy's a little bit different. And so, with Venus not having a hard, like not having an easy time in Aries, that energy is going to be pronounced in what everything Venusian in your life in that area. Now, am I telling you to not move there? No, because your Venus could be wonderfully aspected, could have, the accidental dignities are checking in. And so I'll be like, nah, this actually looks better, a better line than the rest of the lines here, but this is something that you have to keep in mind, right? So, you have to keep that in mind when it comes to that, right? And, domiciles and detriments are like high points, right? So you can gain a lot of points with that domicile energy, but lose a lot of points with a detriment. There's peregrine too, when a planet is in a sign that is nothing, so it's not detriment, it's not fall, but it's not domicile or exaltation. So for instance, my Venus is in Aquarius, right? So it doesn't rule or suffer anywhere, it's just kind of hanging out. You know what I mean? So there is that. And usually those are fine, but those kind of get 0 points. But if something's domicile, exalted in an area, it's great, right? But it's detriment of fall, there is something that you have to kind of worry about. All right, so then the second one, speaking of exaltations and falls. So this is where a planet feels like high and mighty in this area. They don't rule the land, but I forgot who made this example. It was such a good one. But it was kind of like, say that you are a visitor in someone's kingdom and they're treating you the best of the best. Now you don't call the shots and say what's up and dictate anything, but you're just getting treated well. That's exaltation. And fall is like the opposite. You're in the land and people are like, ew, gross. Yuck. You know, it's kind of like that type of vibe. You know, you kind of owning the land and being comfortable in that kingdom is domicile. And you know, I'll say detriment is that you own the land, but your kingdom's whack and it sucks. And you know, you don't really get to say that much, but you have some type of control a little bit. That's detriment. But exaltation is like visitor status. So you're visiting the fancy kingdom is exaltation, but a fall is you're visiting somewhere, a kingdom that you have beef with. So it's kind of weird, and you're worried that they might poison your food, and that's kind of vibe, okay? So with exaltations, like, you know, if you have exalted energy in your chart, you know, you may want to go ahead and, you know, visit that place because you may feel that energy of like blessed energy and being treated with high regard. But you know, that exalted planet has like harsh aspects, and you will have to deal with those issues too. But you know, if I see an exalted placement with the you know, a planet, say, okay, let's give an example. Okay, let's keep it with Venus. Venus is exalted in Pisces, right? So if I see someone that has a Venus Pisces, I'll be like, oh, okay, well, maybe this spot will be nice for you. You know what I mean? But you have to also look at, again, the accidental dignities as well as the aspects to see how that, if that Venus is really as good. It's just like an extra oomph, extra goodness that it adds. You know what I mean? But again, if someone has a Venus in Virgo, that means that their Venus is fallen. But, you know, like similar to what I said about detriment, if you have a well-aspected Venus and his Venus is in Virgo, and the accidental energy looks good too, I'll be like, nah, you better go. But just be aware of the issues that Venus Virgos have with the whole idea of a, you know, not like letting your emotions guide you within your desires, whether it's romantic or material, and having being a little bit too nitpicky, too practical, and it's losing the fun and the romance of things. And when I say romance, it's not only just love and relationship romance, but the romance of just being getting the things that you desire overall. You know how people call, like, you know, use romance in a different type of sense, like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is something to consider when you're looking at what lines will be best for you. You know, do you have any plans that domicile or detriment? Do you have any plans that are exalted or fallen? You know, is it the end all be all? No, it's not. But it is important to peek because it can help you figure out if I should go to one line or another. Like, say that you have, you're fighting between, you know, three lines. Planetary lines, one line is in detriment, one's in exaltation, one is, you know, kind of peregrine type of vibes, and then you don't know where to go because they're all aspected the same. Well, you're probably gonna fall and try to go to the exalted planetary line instead. You know what I mean? That's the type of thing that I'm touching on, and it's important for you to see, okay? Now, if you are a person, you know, you're more into like the traditional aspects of astrology, Hellenistic and stuff like that, this might add more value to you. And so you would really want to focus on the planetary lines that are not detriment, that are not fallen, and all that, you know? So you may want to do that, okay? So do as you will, but I just want to give this information and give my perspective as someone that has been doing it for a while too, okay? Then there is terms, right? Which terms has been described as like kind of like the day-to-day experience of your life and the tools that you have, opposed to the sign in which express how the planet expresses itself overall, right? So it can kind of can speak to some of the specific circumstances and the underlying themes an individual encounter in their lifetime. That's what the terms can kind of touch on. And the planet is like the thing, what like what it is, but the term in which it is in can talk about the tools that you have, the abilities that you have, the circumstances that you know that is supporting the what, which is the planet. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the term placement can represent. So If you don't know, now you know. You would want your planet to be in the same term, you know, so because the terms are ruled, each term is ruled by a traditional planet. So the thing is that if you want to go to your Mars line, your Mars is like good, well aspected. Mars is in Aries, a Scorpio, you know, things are looking good, whatever, whatever. You will want to be also in your Mars term too. Now, is this an end all be all? No. But this helps kind of help function, helps Mars function in a more Martian way. So you know how like with domicile energy is like, you know, Mars is comfortable in Aries and traditionally Scorpio because that is a Martian sign. Mars know how to function well in those signs. Same with terms, but how terms are relayed is kind of like the day-to-day experience of the energy of that planet, you know? And, you know, again, how the underlying themes that you're experiencing via that planet too, and the support that you have within it, that's what the bounds kind of represent. So, you know, if you're, again, it's not the end all be all. So if you're like me and none of your planets fall in the terms, the right terms, then of course it's going to, you know, you're going to be like, okay, this is not working for me. But again, it's not the end all be all. So like I would love to move to my Venus line, right? But my Venus is not in a Venus term. I'm not going to let that stop me. All right. But if my Venus wasn't my Venus term, that would be an extra oomph, an extra support to help determine which planet I should go to. You know what I mean? When it comes to these planetary lines and where around the world represents what planetary line, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So that's that. Now, there's also decans, which is also known as phases. You know, same type of situation there where you want to be in the same decade as that planet. So again, if you want to move to your Mars line, you want to, and your Mars is in a Mars decade, then you're like, okay, then my Mars is looking real good. Opposed to like say that you were interested in a Uranus line. Uranus is kind of difficult to use because I kind of follow the modern approach to decans, but not everyone does. So let's use like Mercury. So say you want to move to your Mercury line too. It's between your Mars and your Mercury, but your Mercury is in a Saturn decan. Then you're like, okay, maybe Mars is going to be the better experience for me because it's in a Mars bound and a Mars decan. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that, you know, again, it's the extra support. Like this helps you dictate which planetary line you want to move to. If you're just like, I don't know where I should move, or I don't know which line I should follow, you know, this is what you can do, okay? And then it's also triplicity, which there are different types of triplicity maps, but a lot of people use Dorotheus. Hopefully I'm saying his name right now. I always butcher it, I feel bad. But, you know, there's a whole map with triplicities on, like, you know, the triplicity placement. So you can kind of use that as well. And that's always helpful too. So for instance, you will have to know the sect of your chart, which is, see, maybe I do have to speak about sex. Sect. But sect is basically, if you have like a day chart or a night chart, and you have a day chart, if you have your sun in houses 7 through 12, and you have a night chart if you have your sun in houses 1 through 6, right? So like say that you have, you know, say you have like, you want to move to your sun line and your sun is in a fire sign. So you're like, oh, that's in, you know, the triplicity, Lord, well, cool, nice, right? And so, you were born in a day. So say that your like sun is in the 8th house. And so that, you know, because it's, you know, the sun is the triplicity ruler, it will, that triplicity energy is going to add extra support. You know what I mean? Same type of thing. So you're going to have that extra support there. So you can use it that way as well. So for me, for instance, you know, I'm not lucky with the triplicity energy either. However, you know, my Saturn is in the fire sign, is in Sagittarius, which Saturn is a participating ruler for the fire triplicities. And so being in my Saturn line, I have that extra support for that triplicity energy. You know what I mean? And so there's that. So I'll be like, okay, so my Saturn line is maybe not, won't be that bad compared to other people's Saturns, you know, Saturn lines. So that, you know, that's how you use it. So that's how you kind of can go through the, you know, essential dignities and tap into that. You know, of course you can look into the different ways that people view triplicity and everything, but a lot of people uses Dorotheus, if I'm saying his name right, Dorotheus. I think I'm saying his name right. But anyways, that's how you would use it. That's how I use it, basically. So again, say if I had like a Gemini Mercury, right, domicile, and then I have a night chart where my sun is in the fourth house and Mercury is the night ruler for the air signs. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna move to my Mercury line. And especially if Mercury's aspected well too, child, I'm out. I'm out, okay? So that's how you utilize that. So yeah, you can use the essential dignities for astrophotography, y'all, okay? Now, let me look at the time. I stopped around like 17 minutes. You know what? I'm gonna keep y'all hanging. I'm gonna do this. We talked about essential dignities for this week, right? Next week, instead of accidental dignities, we're gonna talk about sect, right? I'm gonna talk about the sect and astrophotography. It's gonna be so much fun. And then the 2 weeks after that, we're gonna talk about accidental dignities, okay? So let me know if y'all have any questions and stuff. I can answer them and stuff and things and all that. Actually, I'm gonna be creating a My Ben in Astrology Twitter so we can talk a little bit more. The moon is decreasing, and I know it's about to be I know it's about to be eclipse season. But there's this, like, I remember hearing about this traditional thing, this like thing that people did where, like, if you actually do something in the middle of the eclipses, like between the solar and the lunar, like that's kind of like a blessed spot. Now, I'm not saying for y'all to do anything because I have very little experience doing this. However, I think that's what I'm gonna do. My Ben in Astrology Twitter. I'm gonna do it then, you know, in the middle of the eclipses. So we'll see. I kind of like, I don't mind testing things out, but I'm not gonna tell y'all to do it or not do it because I'm not sure how it's gonna work out. And I don't want y'all to get fucked up. I only give y'all information that I know is correct through experience or through research, heavy research. But experience for me is very important too, okay? So, because a lot of people just be saying shit and they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, so that's all I have for you. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited. Yay, yay, yay. And thanks for listening, y'all. Let me know if you have any questions. Hit me up, DM me, blah, 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 blah. Bye.